Welcome to KPFA Presents. This is our series celebrating Asian American heritage and identity in the Bay Area. We're bringing you segments that were featured on our special broadcast, which is also available on Area 94.1. I'm your host, Lucy Kang. Up next, we have a story from producer Elizabeth Santos, which traces the roots of one Filipino tradition back to a complicated history.
In the 1970s, my parents, like so many others, immigrated to the U.S. from their home in the Philippines. They moved to the Bay Area to join our other relatives, and that's where I was born. Growing up Filipino-American, it was common to hear Tagalog at church, smell adobo at the mall, and see people walking around who looked like me. But there was one Filipino tradition that remained mysterious to me, the Balik Bayan Box. Balik Bayan translates to a Filipino returning to their homeland, and a Balik Bayan box is a moving size cardboard box that overseas Filipinos send to family and friends back in the Philippines. They can be shipped, but they often accompany travelers on flights. They're filled with things like clothes, toys, and candies purchased overseas. My parents honored many Filipino traditions, but one we didn't participate in was packing Balik Bayan boxes, and I never understood why, because so many other Filipino-American families do. So for the story, I talked to as many people as I could about Balik Bayan boxes and what they mean. One of those people is Elaine Villasper. She works at the Filipino Community Center in San Francisco.
I've lived most of my life in America, but I was raised in the Philippines, and I was a recipient of Balik Bayan boxes.
Elaine and her family received these boxes regularly from relatives abroad. Every time was like a special treat for Elaine.
And I can tell you what I loved in those Balik Bayan boxes. I really liked Spider-Man cereal. I don't know what that is. But I guess, you know, in the 80s and 90s, that was like a thing that was being sold at Costco here. I loved gummy bears. I loved chocolates, Toblerone. I mean, my family, who was, you know, in the U.S., definitely knew what to send to make me happy. And, you know, I remember, you know, putting my feet down on paper, and, you know, my mom would trace my feet around this paper, and she would cut it so that you can get a sense of how big my feet were. And then, you know, maybe 6 months later, when the new Balik Bayan box comes, I would have new shoes and they fit perfectly.
How Balik Bayan boxes get to recipients like Elaine is an individualized story for each family sending it. I never got to participate in sending boxes with my parents, but my husband's parents, my in-laws, are planning to fly to the Philippines and are bringing a box with them. Watching them pack Balik Bayan boxes was the first time I got to participate in the ritual. Here's what it looks like for them. First comes the shopping. My mother-in-law Ellen says they buy the contents over time. Things like boxes of Toblerone, coffee, and kitchen supplies.
But they really love chocolates. So we give them the Toblerone, which is expensive, but, you know, the Toblerone, that's worth it because they are happy. They cannot afford to buy that in the Philippines.
How about how many Toblerone do you have?
I have a lot.
Okay, so you have 18.
Yeah.
Toblerone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You put it back.
She shops at places like Costco or the dollar store, where she can get the most bang for her buck. That's because there's a cost to ship the box itself.
If we're to include the box, the mailing, and what's inside,
yeah, it's
you're saying about
1,000. 1,300 to 400. It depends what we are putting.
In fact, there's a whole industry dedicated to shipping Balik Bayan boxes.
Here at LBC, we don't just move stuff, we move lives.
Companies like LBC aired commercials on TV that I would hear as a kid while my mother watched Filipino soap operas called teleseries. After the shopping comes the packing, when all the items are strategically placed inside the box. And it can be a challenge to fit the most items possible inside.
It's very hard to pack. I'm only doing this because
he's here to do it. It's hard to pack. Very hard.
My father-in-law, Loretto, shows me plastic green plants that he uses as filler between the items. He says he's learned from past mistakes when contents broke or spilled in transit.
I want waste and space in there. At the same time, it protects the other stuff. Because some of it are breakable, you know, and some are delicate.
He has his packing routine like down.
So what I do is I use this one to put them together.
It's like a...
The box is so full, he can't tape it shut with his own hands. So he takes two thick straps, wraps them around the sides, and ratchets them to squeeze the top flaps together. With the straps on, he's able to tape the flaps shut. And then he tapes a plastic guard on each corner of the box. The whole packing process takes over half an hour. Once the box is packed, it's ready to be shipped. For many people, that means going to the airport to accompany those flying to the Philippines. I've gone with my parents-in-law to the airport on their previous trips, partly to say goodbye and partly to help them with their luggage and stacks of Balik Bayan boxes. Now, imagine this for 100 other passengers. That was the usual scene at the Philippine Airlines terminal, and still is today. This is the Philippine Airlines counter at San Francisco International Airport. There are two daily flights from here to Manila. Today, there are only a handful of people. One of them is Cynthia, who's traveling to Cavite to visit her sisters.
Are you from there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every year we went back there. So every Filipino have a box, just to give it to relatives, to friends, to neighbor. That's why we always have 8 boxes every time we went back. Yes.
The boxes are like remittances sent to family back home from the up to 10 million Filipino people who live and work abroad. Elaine says she has complicated feelings around the role of Balik Bayan boxes economically, because the boxes aren't necessarily filled with extravagant gifts.
But the overwhelming case for Balik Bayan boxes is that we are not just sending sentimental items, we are primarily sending items that they need for everyday life that, you know, that they wouldn't be able to get on their own over there. And I think, you know, that's the darker side of this process, or the darker side of the culture of Balik Bayan boxes. You know, it symbolizes a lot of love, a lot of hope, a lot of care, but also I think it fills a void that I think shouldn't be there. You know, we shouldn't be leaving the country to make lives outside because we can't sustain ourselves in the Philippines. We shouldn't go decades away from our loved ones, and our loved ones shouldn't continue to have to depend on the labor or the resources that their families provide overseas that should be available in the Philippines.
Here's James Lai, who is an ethnic studies professor at Santa Clara University, and also my former professor.
For many of the diaspora of the Philippines, sending money back is very important, and that helps the families back home. So that money that they're earning overseas is counted as part of their domestic economy. And so we're talking about, the numbers are staggering, about 8.9% of the GNP in 2021.
He says over 40% of that money came from the United States. There's a historical reason for that economic link between the Philippines and the United States.
And those are complicated questions that require, I don't know, a simple answer. But I want to start with the U.S. colonization, because that is, I think, the big elephant in the room. Because many Filipinos obviously weren't like jumping up and down and happy about the United States coming in. And there was resistance, as we know.
There's a lot more to the story. But in brief, the Philippines were colonized by the Spanish for over 3 centuries. then the United States defeated them in the Spanish-American War in 1898, and then defeated the Filipino forces in 1902, paving the way for American colonization.
But that U.S.-Philippine War, once that started to kind of come to an end, then what happened, the United States had to begin to try to construct new empire thinking among Filipinos, now to get them to think about being part of the United States.
Filipinos were encouraged to join the labor force in the United States, where they faced racist discrimination and violence. Even though Filipinos had been struggling for independence since Spanish colonization, an independent Philippines would not be recognized until after World War II. Though the U.S. continues to have deep influence, economic exploitation under colonization has contributed to the widespread poverty and high income inequality in the Philippines today, and why families there may depend on remittances and balik bayan boxes. In a way, balik bayan boxes are manifestations of a long, complicated history of migration and colonization. Tracing the journey of a box is like following part of a Filipino family's journey.
We're not striving for this fairy tale ending. But yeah, beautiful things can emerge out of pain and struggle and sacrifice.
Hearing Elaine's story put a face to the figures Professor Lai shared, I realized that everyone I talked to, Elaine, Cynthia, my family, and myself included, are still caught up in the currents of this migration. And that migration is still going on. My parents and I never sent balik bayan boxes because not many of my family members are left in the Philippines. Most of them settled elsewhere, like the US, Australia, and Japan. And as more Filipinos settle outside of the Philippines, I wonder about whether balik bayan boxes will continue to be a custom in a future where technology has made sending monetary remittances easier and faster. But for Elaine, and for me, the boxes are still a way of preserving Filipino identity.
The balik bayan box is still a cornerstone and still a part of that that culture of that process. We don't say Filipino-Americans going back home. We still say you're a balik bayan. So the Filipino diaspora is still embraced in that way. We may live overseas. It may have been decades since the last time that we've been back or our feet have touched the ground of our motherland, but we are a part of the Philippines, you know, overseas or not.
For KPFA, I'm Elizabeth Santos.
Thanks for joining us on KPFA Presents. Find other stories like this on Area 94.1 at kpfa.org. Our music is Mark Izu's Come On, Let's Go, featuring James Newton and Jim Heekin.